we were renting animals and vehicles.
Yeah. Okay, like I say, on a rare case, record type crane, to load the heavy, or heavy payload, 4 people couldn't load the crane because of the nature of it, you couldn't get a hold of it, whatever. But like I say, that was...
But you did take a crane every once in a while, didn't you?
Yeah, if we knew it was going to definitely require a crane, we would take a crane. But on rare occasions, people wind up, for one reason or another, sometimes the crane would break down before we got the operation. But that was a rare occasion. Record time, small record time.
Okay. Another question about a payload that comes down from altitude. When it comes down, would it be cold?
Oh, yes. If we got to it, you know, right away, yeah, it would be extremely cold. You know, having set up there for several hours,
some of these payloads had lights on them, didn't they?
Yes. Top of the balloon always had a strobe light, so that if it did get down in the airways, it could be seen by the airplane. Yeah, we had to.
Okay. Now you talked before, you said down to the Mexican border. I have some recovery notes here, recovery reports that you were involved in that talked about things going landed in Mexico.
Yes.
So how often did you have that happen?
I only recall
White.
Yeah. They were on a man flight in the balloon when we got him down before he crossed the border. And the balloon drifted or crossed the border. And we were not supposed to. Talked to the Mexican sheriff there at Tacoma, and we're crossing the border. It was south of where I had it, kind of southwest of the border. But we talked to the Mexican sheriff there. The military had to take off their team there, fatigue talks, and go over the
Stargazer.
Yeah.
Thanks. Photographs of that.
Yeah.
Did you go on that?
No, no. I think Joe and Sam Gutierrez, I believe, were the only two that went down. But I wasn't on it. I was aware of it at the time. But because of not being able to be proficient in Spanish, I didn't know.
I'd just like to ask you about recoveries in the area of two areas. We'll start with the first one over by Roswell. Do you remember making recoveries near Roswell?
Oh, we made lots of recoveries around Roswell.
Yeah, I've collected landing sites, and I've got maybe 100 or so landings around Roswell.
Yeah.
And that's only a partial list.
Right.
So you remember going around Roswell? With nice flat land.
Oh yes, yes, it was kind of desert type. Thinly populated, mostly farm ranch areas, and a lot of oil field operations out there.
Okay. And would these be north of town? Just talking about Roswell, would they be south of town, north of town, east of town?
All
over?
All over. Because Roswell
before you said that you used to wait alongside the roads, do you remember waiting along the side of Highway 285?
Oh, many times.
North and south of Roswell?
Yes.
Many times. That's where they say that they saw these Air Force people going to get a flying saucer, you know?
Yeah, well, I'd say that was one of our prime recovery areas because it was thinly populated, mostly ranch land. It was level terrain where you could drive a vehicle and recover just about any area with a little work, you know, skirting around arroyos, going around fences, what have you, you know, eventually get right up to the vehicle.
Now another area, did you recover anything, do you remember recovering things around Pinacho?
Oh, Pinacho?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes.
A lot of times?
Not very often. Pinacho was still in the mountains. Pinacho is about halfway from Rio Dosa to Roswell. And it's mountainous is right down in the valley there, the Mono Valley. And there's steep mountains on the north and south of it. We set up a lot of times, we let the catchel with our satellite, and there was a payphone there that we could use. And we set up our base of operations for tracking the payload there at the catchel a lot of times.
Is there anybody in that area that you remember, civilians that you remember coming in contact with or not?
By name, no.
Okay. All right.
We recovered a payload back kind of south.
He didn't seem surprised at all about the...
No. No.
Not at all.
No. Like I say, being a man in a position, he was familiar with the research that was going on.
You know, there's a Mexico congressman bringing this GAO, forcing this investigation. The other congressman, Congressman Schiff. Yes. You think you two guys would talk to each other, wouldn't you?
You think so.
Wouldn't you? So you say you went in for coffee with him, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what you did or who was there? Or?
Well, his wife was there in a house. I guess she was a maid. And she was helping him learn Spanish. I recall that. She was teaching him Spanish. I recall those three. I don't remember the maid's name. I do recall that. It was a very cordial situation. She was, explained to us, that she was Spanish. Oh, we just had a general conversation. That's his first one thing. A lot of things.
But what year would you say that it was?
Probably just before he got into high school, and he graduated from high school in 76, so it would have been somewhere around 70.
Let's see. Was he with the congressman by this time?
No.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he
you remember specifically talking to him?
Oh, yes.
Joe Skeen.
Joe Skeen. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. He owns a lot of property out there, doesn't he?
Yes.
I bet you didn't have to do some of that land lease, right? I see.
Probably wouldn't have done any good. I wouldn't have had the money to buy it anyway.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I know the feeling. Let's see here. Okay, I guess the last thing we're going to try and finish this out on are these anthropomorphic dummies. I've gone through the records, and I've been able to identify just about every landing location, just a couple of them that I didn't get. But you came on board in about 55,
yeah.
October 55, and I've got, the dummies look like they started in about 54, so you got on board October. I'm showing the first ones you probably would have been involved with would have been like in January of 56.
Yeah.
How many dummy recoveries were you involved in?
Probably only three or four.
Okay. How many launches?
But only I wasn't on the launches.
So you weren't on the launches? To get out there.
They tried to position us in a reasonable area for making recovery.
Okay. What do you remember? How would the dummies come down, and what do you remember about the dummy drops?
Well, I remember
I have on my map, I have about 9 landings all around Roswell. I have about, 3 of them that are one northwest, one straight, one, and then 2 are like northeast. The rest are south, things like that. So what do you remember about those particular ones you went on, especially in the Roswell area?
Do you remember if civilians were ever there when you picked up the dummies? No, I don't.
But other than the one case with the wife and the rancher?
Right, right.
Okay. Do you remember the dummies all coming down together? I have some records showing that the release mechanism was failing. And sometimes the dummies would come down with the rack.
Yeah.
You do remember that?
Right. Yeah.
Would you think that was over near Roswell?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so what, both the dummies came down in the rack?
Yep.
And how would they, how did they land? Did they break up?
No. No, those dummies were just, they were pretty tough. They didn't. As I recall, they were all intact. The one that I recovered had a part of was the dummy itself was all intact. But they were suited out.
Do you remember what color the coveralls were? Because I have photographs of them in the bright red and silver.
Seemed like that there was an orange. There was an orange pig. I mean, an orange coverall. It seemed like there was something with a regular tan.
Did they remember, did they wear a helmet?
Yes.
Because I have photographs and I have a lot of different things.
It seems like some of them did, some of them didn't. But I'm sure of that.
Okay. Let's see. When one came down in the rack, all together there, did it like kind of bury itself in the ground or
no?
Just kind of laying on top.
Laying on top.
But would there be junk laying around it, I assume, some of the...
Well, yeah, we had all the control package, the ballast. We had all that paraphernalia that had to be put together for control of it.
Would you ever have reason to have a siren on your any of your recovery vehicles?
No.
Okay. With the dummies, so the dummies would be laying there, obviously, and what did they look like when they were laying there?
They looked like a person. If you weren't, you know, if you didn't know better, you'd come up on it. You know, if you weren't familiar with the program, you'd actually think it was a person.
So it was...
Programs on, they had the dress and coveralls, the head, face was more or less flesh colored, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, that addition, you think it was perfect.
Okay. I gotta say, how big were the dummies? Ever use a dummy that was any small?
No.
Okay. Did you ever use a dummy that maybe didn't have legs?
Not to my knowledge. All the ones that I were working with, they all had legs. All had legs, all had book and shoes on. They all were, I would say, approximately 6 foot. And they probably a person who would weigh probably 180 pounds.
Okay. Did you ever have trouble finding them? Did you ever remember losing one?
The only time anyone lost was when they would come down to the miscalculated drift, or they might terminate unexpectedly or come down in the darkness. But usually, parachute there, which spread out when falling impact.
let's see. Oh, did Captain Joe Kittinger ever accompany you or any of your crews out to the field?
Yes, on occasion. He was always very interested in the program and what the configuration and what the results were at the exercise. If he could be in the area, a lot of times he'd come out in a rental car. He'd meet the recovery people and
Did he ever come out to dummy recovery sites?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't
remember. Did you ever know Captain Kittinger to have a black NCO assistant or someone who would work with him closely?
I don't remember.
But you did have black NCOs on your crew.
Oh, yeah.
About Rodney Moss.
Rodney Moss was, rarely was Rodney on the recovery. Rodney was a launch crew member.
Okay.
And he was, primarily he was for the launch.
Sherman Van Dyke?
Sherman Van Dyke was launch personnel.
Just one other kind of funny thing is that these people keep describing you guys waiting on the side of the road. Like Ole said that sometimes he could go into a cafe and he'd get a cup of coffee, but you had told me earlier that that the black folks in those days in Mexico, it wasn't, they couldn't go into some of the cafes and things.
No. When I first started on recovery, it was embarrassing the first time I went out with Benjamin Hill and Hubert Johnson. I remember distinctly talking over at Seminole, Texas, we pulled into the driving, knowing that we couldn't come into a restaurant.
Well, I think that might be all the questions I have. I've had a lot of them.
Okay.
Do you have anything you'd like to add? Any? Can you remember any funny events or any interesting or situations you found yourself in? Sounds like you found yourself in a lot of situations.
Oh, yeah. I would like to ask you one favor. Back to the comment I made about the
Yes. Certainly. Let me stop. I'll stop the tape now. All right. Yeah, one more question for you, Mr. Blankenship. You mentioned to me that you coordinated with the local sheriff. Was that something you did on a continuing basis? And did you do this over in the area of Roswell with the Chavez County and the Lincoln County sheriff?
Yeah, well, usually this was close enough that the control center prior to approximately